Thank you for the privilege of being with you today. Let's look at the civil trials of Jesus. And these are found in John chapter 18, verses 28 through 28 and the parallel Gospels. You can find this study on abideinchrist.com, abideinchrist.com, abideinchrist.com. Go to Bible Studies and Sermons and click on John chapter 18, verses 28 through 38, the civil trials of Jesus. The execution of Jesus had to take place and everything cleaned up before 6 p.m. at the beginning of the Passover celebration. Nobody could be left on the cross that afternoon. The Sanhedrin quickly turned Jesus over to Pilate after their decision to execute Jesus. Jesus' first appearance before Pilate is recorded for us. Pontius Pilate was the Roman procurator from AD 26 through 36. His residence was in Caesarea, but during the religious feast of Israel, he traveled to Jerusalem because there was always the fear of civil unrest during these highly patriotic events. He was actually born in Seville, Spain. He abandoned his first wife to marry Claudia, the daughter of Julia, the daughter of the Emperor Augustus. His contempt for the Jewish religion was detestable. George Adam Smith says he was a typical Roman, stern and practical, with all the Roman contempt for superstition, which at that period was synonymous with religion of every variety and all the Roman hatred of the Jews. He hated his subjects, but also feared them. He was at their mercy, and they knew it. Pilate won the favor of the emperor as long as he could increase the tax revenue and maintain peace in the conquered land. However, he got in trouble with the emperor with both accounts. The first time he entered Jerusalem, he set up the Roman standards bearing the emperor's image, completely disregarding the religious conviction of the Jewish people concerning the prohibition of all the graven images. A year before Jesus' crucifixion, Emperor Tiberius had rebuked Pilate concerning the shields he had set up in Herod's palace. The civil trial of Jesus before the Roman governor Pilate could not take place before sunrise at 6 a.m. The Sanhedrin had conducted their trials in the early morning before the sunrise. Both of these trials were technically illegal. They did not have the authority or the power to crucify Jesus. The sole purpose of the Sanhedrin was to get approval from the Roman governor to execute Jesus. Only the Roman governor had absolute legal authority in matters involving capital punishment. And that power lay in the hands of Pilate, who alone could prescribe the death penalty. He also had the power to release Jesus, but he did not. Each of the four Gospels tells us the Sanhedrin delivered up Jesus to Pilate, and probably the whole Sanhedrin was involved, with the exception of Nicodemus and Joseph of Arimathea. The Jewish religious leaders feared an uprising among the Jewish people. They were so obsessed that they might become religiously defiled by entering the Roman governor's palace and be forbidden to partake of the Passover that night that they did not even consider that they were murdering an innocent man at the same time. To them, the ceremonial pollution was far more serious than murder. And if they entered the Roman Praetorium on the morning of the first day of the Passover celebration, they would have been rendered impure and forbidden to offer the Paschal Lamb. And then they led Jesus from Caiaphas into the Praetorium, and it was early. And they themselves did not enter into the Praetorium so that they would not be defiled, but might eat the Passover. John chapter 18, verse 28. they brought Jesus before Pilate and began to accuse him. "We found this man misleading our nation and forbidding to pay taxes to Caesar, and saying that he himself is Christ, a king." Luke chapter 23, verse 2. These religious leaders did not want an independent formal investigation into the facts regarding Jesus. "Legally, we cannot kill him. You can do it for us." Pilate went out to the Jewish leaders and said, "What accusation do you bring against this man?" And they answered and said to him, "If this man were not an evildoer, we would not have delivered him to you." And so Pilate said to them, "Take him yourselves and judge him according to your law." And the Jews said to him, "Well, we are not permitted to put anyone to death, to fulfill the word of Jesus, which he spoke, saying, by which kind of death he was about to die." John chapter 18, verses 29 through 32. And Jesus had been repeatedly telling his followers how and where he would die. In John chapter 3, verse 14, "As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up." In John chapter 12, verses 32 and 33, "And I, if I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all men to myself." But he was saying this to indicate the kind of death by which he would die. In John chapter 20, verses 18 and 19, "Behold, we're going to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be delivered to the chief priests and scribes, and they will condemn him to death, and will hand him over to the Gentiles to mock and to scourge and crucify. And on the third day, he will rise again." The Jews could not execute Jesus, but the scriptures had predicted his crucifixion. The Romans had to crucify him. The religious leaders were not being honest with Pilate. The Sanhedrin charged Jesus with blasphemy. And they knew if they told Pilate the truth about why they wanted Jesus executed, he would have refused to fulfill their demands. Pilate, as a Roman governor, would have nothing to do with their religious superstitions. Jewish blasphemy was not sufficient grounds in the eyes of the Roman law to crucify Jesus. Pilate simply told them, "You have your law, go out and do it yourself." Their response was, "But according to the Roman law, we do not have the authority to execute him. We are not permitted to put anyone to death." That's a Roman privilege. The Roman law demanded public proceedings and explicit accusations. The Jewish leaders proceeded to accuse Jesus of treason. They said he was plotting sedition and misleading our nation and forbidding to pay the taxes to Caesar, according to Luke chapter 23, verse 2. How many of them had paid their taxes? It was an outright lie when they said he forbade paying tribute to the emperor. In fact, Jesus said, "Render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's." In desperation, they said Jesus claimed to be the Messiah, a king. Again, Jesus had steadfastly refused to accept the acclamation to become a political Messiah. These religious leaders deeply desire a political Messiah who would overthrow the Roman dictatorship. In response to their accusation of sedition against the Rome, Pilate goes back into the palace where Jesus is waiting, according to John chapter 18, verse 33. Pilate examined Jesus, and Jesus felt free to speak the truth with Pilate. And probably with a sneer, he said, "Are you the king of the Jews?" Each of the synoptics tell us Jesus replied, "It is as you say." And John chapter 18, verse 34 tells us, "And Jesus answered, Are you saying this on your own initiative, or did others tell you about me?" Pilate took offense to Jesus' answer, and with Roman scorn, Pilate answered, "I am not a Jew, am I? Your own nation and the chief priests delivered you to me. What have you done?" And Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then my servants would be fighting so that I would not be handed over to the Jews. But as it is, my kingdom is not of this realm." And therefore Pilate said to him, "And so you are a king?" And Jesus answered, "You say correctly that I am a king. For this I have been born, and for this I have come into the world to testify to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice." And Pilate said to him, "What is truth?" And when he had said this, he went out again to the Jews and said to them, "I find no guilt in him." John chapter 18, verses 35 to 38. Jesus' kingdom is a spiritual kingdom. It is not of this world. If his kingdom were of this world, he would have created a worldly army. He is not a political messiah. His kingdom is of spiritual truth. He reigns in the hearts of the individual. And Jesus said, "The kingdom of God is within you." Luke chapter 17, verse 21. And where the king is, there's the kingdom. His rule is acknowledged in the heart, and it is the sovereignty of God through the Spirit of God in our lives. The religious leaders accused him of many things, we're told in Mark chapter 15, verse 3. And while he was being accused by the chief priest and the elders, he did not answer. And then Pilate said to him, "Do you not hear how many things they testify against you?" And he did not answer him with regard to even a single charge. And so the governor was quite amazed. Matthew chapter 27, verses 12 through 14. It was a dignified silence that fulfilled prophecy. Pilate could have dismissed Jesus at the point in the trial, but he didn't. Pilate did not see Jesus and his kingdom as a threat to Rome, and so he dismissed any charge of treason. The religious leaders continued to press their issue against Jesus. Luke tells us in Luke chapter 23, verse 5, "But they kept on insisting, saying, 'He stirs up the people, teaching all over Judea, and starting from Galilee, even as far as this place.'" And when Pilate heard these words, "Galilee," he thought he would dismiss Jesus and make peace with Herod Agrippa, who was in Jerusalem for the Passover. And since Jesus was from Galilee, he would turn the case over to Herod. And he had beheaded John the Baptist in order to please Herodias. How would he treat Jesus? In Luke chapter 23, verses 6 through 12, we see Jesus before Herod Antipas. It is still early Friday morning, around 6 a.m. in Jerusalem, we're told in John chapter 19, verse 14. Luke chapter 23, verses 6 through 12, tells us of Jesus' experience before Herod. "And when Pilate heard it, he asked whether the man was a Galilean. And when he heard that he belonged to Herod's jurisdiction, he sent him to Herod, who himself was in Jerusalem at that time. Now Herod was very glad when he saw Jesus, for he had wanted to see him for a long time, because he had been hearing about him, and he was hoping to see some sign performed by him. And he questioned him at some length, but he answered him nothing. And the chief priest and the scribes were standing there, accusing him vehemently. And when Herod, with his soldiers, after treating him with contempt and mocking him, dressed him in a gorgeous robe and sent him back to Pilate. And now Herod and Pilate became friends with one another that very day, for before they had been enemies with each other. Jesus revealed absolutely nothing to Herod. It's interesting that Pilate used Herod's refusal to try Jesus as his arguments to release Jesus. Pilate said to the Jewish leaders, "You brought this man to me as one who incites the people to rebellion? And behold, having examined him before you, I have found no guilt in this man regarding the charges which you make against him. No, nor has Herod, for he sent him back to us. And behold, nothing deserving death has been done by him." Luke chapter 23, verses 14 and 15. Herod refused jurisdiction, and Jesus was sent back to Pilate. And then we see Jesus' second appearance before Pilate. Pilate, slowly and reluctantly and in fear, surrendered to the demand of the Sanhedrin for the crucifixion of Jesus, observes A.T. Robertson. It's near sunrise, and the Jewish leaders are anxious to get their death warrant for the crucifixion of Jesus. Pilate returns to the bima in front of the Jewish leaders. His judgment seat was a golden throne placed on an elevated pavement of marble. What will be the decision of the judge? Luke chapter 23, verses 13 through 16 tells us that Pilate summoned the chief priest and the rulers of the people and said to them, "You brought this man to me as one who incites the people to rebellion, and behold, having examined him before you, I have found no guilt in this man regarding the charges which you make against him. No, nor has Herod, for he sent him back to us, and behold, nothing deserving of death has been done by him, and therefore I will punish him and release him." And Pilate saw the disapproval of the crowd and quickly decided to chastise Jesus and release him. And this, of course, did not satisfy those who thirst for the blood of Jesus. Barabbas or Jesus? Each of the four Gospels gives us the desperate decision of Pilate to give the people a choice according to the time-honored tradition of the Roman governor to pardon one prisoner at the Passover each year. And surely these God-fearing people would choose Jesus over a murderous insurrectionist. Now, this is a suggestion in Mark chapter 15, verses 6 through 8. And so when the people gathered together, Pilate said to them, "Whom do you want me to release to you, Barabbas or Jesus, who is called the Christ?" For he knew that because of envy, they had handed him over. And while he was sitting on the judgment seat, his wife sent him a message saying, "Have nothing to do with this righteous man, for last night I suffered greatly in a dream because of him." Because the chief priest and the elders persuaded the crowds to ask for Barabbas and to put Jesus to death. But the governor said to them, "Which of the two do you want me to release to you?" And they said, "Barabbas." Matthew chapter 27, verses 17 through 21. All four Gospels tell us the crowd that had gathered outside the palace cried out together, demanding Barabbas to be released and Jesus crucified. Pilate's wife was a nervous wreck and had a bad dream. She sent word to Pilate while he was sitting on the bema saying, "Have nothing to do with this righteous man, for last night I suffered greatly in the dream because of him." Matthew chapter 27, verse 19. Again, the desperation, Pilate thought that a good Roman scourging of Jesus would soften the cruel hearts of the religious leaders. And John says Pilate took Jesus and scourged him in John chapter 19, verse 1. It was nothing more than beating the prisoner to death. It was an extremely cruel form of punishment. The Romans knew no limit to the murder strokes against the naked body. The instrument of torture was a cat of nine tails with iron, glass, bone, hooks in the ends of the thongs of leather. It was not infrequent that the victim died from such a beating. John W. Shepherd describes this beating in the Christ of the Gospels. The scourge was a whip with several thongs, and each loaded with acorn-shaped balls of lead or sharp pieces of bone and spikes. Stripped of his clothing, his hands tied to a column of stake with his back bent, and the victim was lashed with the flagels by six lictors, who plied these instruments of torture with severity, almost to the point of the death of the prisoner, each stroke cutting to the quivering flesh until the veins and sometimes the entrails were laid bare. Often the scourge struck the face and knocked out the eyes and teeth, and the scourging almost always ended in fainting and sometimes even in death. John tells us the soldiers plaited a crown of thorns and put it on Jesus' head and placed a purple robe on his bleeding, lacerated body. They placed a reed scepter in his hands, and then they came to Jesus and saying with mockery, "Hail, King of the Jews!" And they slapped him with their hands. They repeatedly spat in his face. And Pilate went outside again and declared to the Jews, "I find no crime in him." He presented Jesus to them, wearing a crown of thorns and a purple robe. Arrogantly, he declared, "Behold the man! What then shall I do with him whom you call the King of the Jews?" And the bloodthirsty mob grew stronger and stronger in their demand and cried out, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" Pilate replied, "Why? What evil has he done? I have found no cause of death in him. I will therefore chastise him and release him." Luke chapter 23, verses 20 through 22. And desperately, the Jews finally reveal their true heart. "We have a law, and by that law, he ought to die because he made himself out to be the Son of God." John chapter 19, verse 7. And when Pilate heard that, he was even more afraid. And Pilate took Jesus back into the palace. "Who are you?" he demanded. In John chapter 19, verse 9. And Jesus gave him no answer. John informs us that so Pilate said to him, "You do not speak to me? Do you not know that I have the authority to release you and I have the authority to crucify you?" And Jesus answered, "You would have no authority over me unless it had been given to you from above. For this reason, he who delivered me to you has the greater sin." John chapter 19, verses 10 and 11. And Pilate sought even more desperately to release Jesus, we're told in verse 12. The Jews responded to Pilate saying, "You're not Caesar's friend." And the antagonism between Pilate and the Jewish religious leaders grew more and more intense. They threatened Pilate, "If you release this man, you're not Caesar's friend." John chapter 18, verse 12. And that was the greatest intimidation. He was well aware that the evil Sanhedrin would send a report to the emperor, resulting in his removal of the office and banishment from the empire. The Roman Tiberius was on the island of Capri, gravely ill with a loathsome disease. He was paranoid, with suspicion and full of revenge for anyone who would cross him. "Behold your king," declares Pilate. And Pilate makes one last desperate attempt at justice. His desire is to release Jesus. He took his place upon the bema, brought Jesus out before the people. In John chapter 18, verse 14, Pilate turns to the Jews and declares, "Behold your king!" And the Jewish leaders stirred up the crowd with loud frenzy, calling for Jesus' crucifixion in Luke chapter 23, verse 23. And so they cried out, "Away with him! Away with him! Crucify him! Crucify him!" And Pilate said to them, "Shall I crucify your king?" And the chief priests answered, "We have no king but Caesar." John chapter 19, verse 15. And with these words, they sealed the doom of the nation. The mob cried louder and louder, demanding the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. Matthew tells us in Matthew chapter 27, verses 24 and 25, that Pilate feared the mob and gave up. And when Pilate saw that he was accomplishing nothing, but rather that a riot was starting, he took water and washed his hands in front of the people, saying, "I am innocent of this man's blood, and see that to yourselves." And all the people said, "His blood shall be on us and upon our children." 5 times, Christ is declared innocent of the charges brought against him by the Jewish leaders. He was innocent. Pilate may have washed his hands, thinking he was innocent of the blood of the righteous man, but in reality, Pilate could not escape the sense of responsibility. There was a custom among the Greeks, the Jews, and the Romans of that time that when a man shed blood, he would wash his hands, and thus symbolically cleansing away their stain. Pilate felt that he was a murderer, and the tragic reply came back like an echo of the groan of the future generation, "His blood be on us and our children." And 30 years later, on that very spot, judgment was pronounced against some of the best citizens of Jerusalem. Of the 3,600 victims of the governor's fury, not a few were scourged and crucified. Judas died in a loathsome suicide. The house of Annas was destroyed some years later. Caiaphas was deposed a year after the crucifixion. Pilate was soon after banished to Gaul, and there died in suicide. And when Jerusalem fell, her wretched citizens were crucified around the walls until, in historians' grim language, space was wanting for the crosses and the crosses for the bodies. And the horrors of the siege of Jerusalem were unparalleled in history, says John W. Shepherd. A.T. Robertson notes, "The guilt of the Sanhedrin, both Pharisees and Sadducees, unite in the demand for the blood of Jesus is beyond dispute." The Pharisees began the attacks against Jesus on the theological and ecclesiastical grounds. The Sadducees later joined the conspiracy against Jesus. Judas was a mere tool of the Sanhedrin, who had his resentments and grievances to avenge. There's guilt enough for all the plotters in the greatest wrong of the ages. And from the judgment seat, Pilate submitted to their intimidations and gave the sentence they demanded. He released Barabbas, the insurrectionist and murderer, but delivered Jesus up to their will to be scourged and crucified. The important question is, what will you do with Jesus Christ? May the Lord's richest blessings be yours today.